Well, the 49ers certainly not good. There's really no other way to characterize what happened yesterday. Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the Sacramento Bee, joins us each and every week here on Sports 1140. And Matt, it's good to talk to you on this Monday. First, the bad news. Boy, you just got to feel for Navarro Bowman and what he's gone through in his career, and now he's out again with a very severe injury.
Yeah, you know, he fought so hard to get back up to his previous form from that devastating left knee injury he suffered in that 2013 NFC Championship game. Played all of last season, really had put that injury behind him going into this one, and now is dealing with an Achilles tear, which of course is a season-ending injury. So he's starting from scratch again next year. You know, as Michael Crabtree showed so well in yesterday's Raiders game. An Achilles tear is something that you can come back from and play well with afterward. It's not going to be the same arduous journey, I don't think, that the knee injury was. But you're right, you have to feel for a guy who's now, you know, two of the last 3 years is going to be on IR.
You know, I'm surprised the 49ers defense did not play better. You know, after watching them in week one, you know, and as it turned out, the Rams aren't bad. You know, they haven't lost since then. And then watching, you know, then last week what Seattle did to that 49ers defense, then watching what Dallas did to that 49ers defense. I mean, I just thought they'd be better, Matt.
I agree. And I thought that they would bounce back at home, which has been sort of the trademark of this team the last year and a half. But once things got bad for the 49ers, they couldn't reverse it. And you know, another thing that was in their favor going into that game was that Dallas has a fantastic offensive line, big, powerful offensive line, and they use it to protect Dak Prescott and to at the forefront of their running game. But two of those offensive linemen were missing from this game, and they still were able to run at will at the end of the game against the 49ers. I think the bottom line is that, you know, it's not Justin Smith there anymore. It's a very young group. They've got to learn how to play, you know, against the run primarily. You know, it's a tall group. I wonder if that is playing into it, too. I mean, that was the big thing for the 49ers. Everybody's 6'5" or above. Well, you have to learn how to play with leverage. I mean, sometimes that's good as far as getting a pass rush on a team, but if you get allow an offensive lineman to get underneath your pads, you can be rooted out of an area. And that seemed to be happening a lot during that game, especially in the second half.
49ers coach Chip Kelly said he thought Blaine Gabbert played well. He also said that he'd have to go back and look at that missed throw to Torrey Smith. What is your evaluation of Blaine Gabbert yesterday?
Well, Chip Kelly did go back and look at that missed throw, and he agreed with Gabbert that it was indeed a miss. I mean, that was a touchdown in the making, and Gabbert just underthrew it. And, yeah, he had a sensational first half. I mean, at one point at the end of the first quarter, his passer rating was 154, and it doesn't get much higher than that. At the end of the first half, it was down to about 138, which is still sensational. But by the end of the game, it was 91. So it is a pattern there. I mean, he got a little bit worse, a little bit more inaccurate as the game went on. And when the 49ers absolutely needed to have a play, it wasn't there. And I think that's sort of the bottom line, is that in crunch time, Blaine Gabbert hasn't delivered. And, you know, there's a carefulness about him. You know, that throw, that deep throw to Torrey Smith was underthrown. The fourth and sixth play that they needed to have at the end of the game, 1 for 3 yards. So whenever there's a mistake, he seems to be, instead of going for broke and making a mistake, he seems to be kind of limiting things and making a mistake. And I wonder in the end if that corresponds with Chip Kelly's personality. We all know what his nickname was at Oregon, and he seems to be a guy that likes risk, that likes, you know, taking it to the other team. And I'm not sure that Gabbert has that personality.
Do you think Blaine Gabbert has the confidence from his teammates? Do you think they respect him as the starting quarterback? Do you think they're all on board with that?
I think it's starting to change. I mean, I don't see how you can think any other. You saw how Torrey Smith reacted to that interception. Those were the behaviors, the actions that we were seeing last year from Smith and from Anquan Boldin, when it was clear that Colin Kaepernick didn't have it, that he had lost confidence in the team, and that preceded Blaine Gabbert taking over for Kaepernick. And I just wonder whether we're seeing history repeat itself sort of in reverse this year with, you know, Torrey Smith and others unhappy with how things are going at quarterback, and that it's eventually Colin Kaepernick who comes in and replaces Blaine Gabbert.
Listen, I'm not expecting anything from the 49ers, but, I mean, your job is not to, you know, your job is to cover the team, you know, write on a daily basis what you're seeing and not be, you know, a forecaster. But with that said, I think it's safe to say that if the 49ers lose at home on Thursday night, their season's done. They will not rebound from that. And with how crazy the NFC West is right now, with the Cardinals being 1-3, the fact that they've already beat the Rams once and will have an opportunity later in the year to go down to L.A. And again, I'm not predicting wins here, but if they do lose Thursday, sayonara.
Yeah, it's going to be tough. I mean, you go back and you look at Chip Kelly's first couple of seasons in Philadelphia, and there were streaks like this. I don't know if it ever got to four games, which is what the 49ers losing streak would be if they lost Thursday to Arizona. But there was a three-game losing streak in there, and they rebounded, and they came back, and they made the playoffs that year. I'm not saying that this is going to happen in San Francisco. It's certainly possible. But, you know, we're getting to a stretch here. They've got the Cardinals at home, and they go on the road and play, you know, a beatable Buffalo Bills team. I know they just beat the Patriots, but there's not a lot of talent there. They're dealing with a lot of injuries. And then it's home against Tampa, a bye week, and home against a New Orleans team that's got a very bad defense this year. So if you're going to get on track, it's now. You've got to do it now because those opportunities, it's just going to get harder as the season goes on. You've got long road trips to Miami, Atlanta, et cetera, coming up. So if they're going to get on track and make a run for this division, it's got to start on Thursday night against the Cardinals.
Matt Barrows, our 49er insider from the Sacramento Bee. Any other injuries yesterday of note?
Yeah, well, DeForest Buckner, a guy that they've really been leaning on heavily, rookie, their first-round pick. He injured his foot. He was walking around today with a walking boot on the foot. I think that's probably a good sign as far as long-term forecast. He's not out for the season, but I think he's probably doubtful to play Thursday, which is a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal on this team considering how deep they are on the defensive line. But they've really had to rely on him, lean on him early this season. He played 70 snaps yesterday,
wow,
Grant, which is that's a huge number,
yep,
for a defensive lineman. And it just tells you really everything you need to know. I mean, he's played well, but he's still a rookie. And a rookie shouldn't be playing that much on a team that's supposed to be as deep as the 49ers are on the defensive line.
You know, right before week one, and I haven't asked you this in the last couple of weeks, but leading up to week one, we were talking about Arik Armstead and his shoulder and the issues that he was having. And then for week one, he wasn't even on the injury report. Where do things stand with him?
Yeah, he's still injured. I mean, he's still dealing with that shoulder injury. He's able to go through full practices, which is why he's not on the injury report per se. But, you know, it's obvious that it's affecting him. I mean, he was head and shoulders better than everybody else those first 10 days or so of training camp. And you just don't see that from him when he goes into games. I think he played 50-some-odd snaps Sunday against the Cowboys, which is a lot, which is good. But he's not dominating the way that he probably would be, or at least playing the way he would be if he was 100% healthy. And that's another reason why DeForest Buckner has gotten so many snaps. There's been an injury to Armstead. Glenn Dorsey is just coming back from his ACL, et cetera, et cetera. And so I think that's kind of goes to explain why they've given up, I think it's at least 418 yards,
wow,
of offense in these last three games.
You were at the game, so you weren't able to watch the telecast unless you watched it today. But Joe Buck, several times during the telecast on Fox, commented about how many Cowboy fans were at Levi's Stadium. And you being there and your vantage point from the press box, I mean, I'm not going to ask you to nail it down exactly, but was it because you can't always gauge it from TV, was it, would you say it was 50-50?
I'd say it was more than 50-50. I mean, not much more, but I would say that there were more Cowboys fans in that crowd than there were 49ers fans. And that's the way it was back in 2011 when the 49ers hosted the Cowboys in Candlestick Park. It was about 50-50 in that game. And then what's weird, Grant, is that the 49ers then, I think it was the 2013 season opener, they went to Arlington, Texas and played against the Cowboys there.
And it was
that
mostly
game
Niner
was,
fans.
Was half full of 49ers
right.
fans. So there's a weird dichotomy that goes on when these teams play each other and that they love to travel to the other's stadium. And probably people with season tickets love to give those tickets away because they can sell them for a premium, probably pay for a big chunk of their season ticket fee just in that one game. So I think that's what's happening. Why it tends to happen between these two teams, I guess it goes back to their big rivalry in the 80s and 90s. But, you know, there hasn't been much lately, but it was very, very stark, and a lot of players commented about the number of Cowboys fans in the stadium yesterday.
Matt Barros from the Sacramento Bee. Short week, so here we are on Monday, and they're playing on Thursday. How does Chip Kelly handle things on this short week as it relates to, you know, getting ready for this game?
Yeah, they had a rare Monday practice today, sort of an extended walkthrough, certainly no hitting or anything like that. And they're going to have their biggest practice of the week tomorrow and then something light on Wednesday. So it's, you know, the Cardinals are going through the same thing. It's a real test, obviously, for any team, but it'll be interesting to see whether Chip Kelly's sort of, you know, sports science approach to the work week will have an impact and will give the 49ers a little bit of an edge on Thursday.
Matt, always good talking to you. Thank you very much. Short week. I know you got a lot of work to do. And again, we love having you on. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Grant. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Matt Barros, Sacramento Bee. If you want to call to the program and talk about the 49ers or you want to talk about the Raiders or anything else in the NFL, 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. We'd love to hear from you if you want to talk about the Kings as they get ready to take on the Lakers tomorrow. It's game one of the preseason. Darren Collison has been suspended by the NBA for 8 games, which means, obviously, when you look at the schedule, he's eligible to return after the Kings come back from their 5-game road trip because they start the season in Phoenix on the 26th. Then they're home on the 27th and 29th. And then they hit the road for a 5-game trip starting on Halloween night in Atlanta. All right, so he will not be able to play until they return from that 5-game road trip. 8 games, the suspension for Darren Collison. I think this affects the team greatly. I think Darren Collison is clearly the team's best point guard. And there's no good way to sugarcoat this. This is not good. It's not conducive to getting off to a good start when you don't have your starting point guard for 8 games. All right. I know it's next man up, and that's what it's going to be now. But I don't know who the next man up is. You know, I don't know if that's Ty Lawson. I don't know if that's Garrett Temple. You know, I'm not really sure on the depth chart when we get through these preseason games, who will be the next man up. You know, how Dave Yeager is going to coach this team for the first 8 games without his starting point guard. That I do think Garrett Temple is going to get a lot of time at the point, and I think that, you know, clearly because of his defense, he's going to be on the floor a lot. You know, I need to see Ty Lawson play in the preseason before I can give you my opinion and giving you a read on what I expect from him this season. I just, you know, I don't know. I haven't seen Ty Lawson play well in a couple of years, so it's very difficult to comment until I watch him play in live action in the preseason. So, again, it's not good, plain and simple. It's not good. You lose a guy for 8 games. There's nothing good about that. So the Kings are going to have to figure out a way to play without Darren Collison for the first 2 weeks of the season. If you want to talk about that, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Tonight we got Monday Night Football for you. The Vikings, of course, they've been decimated by injuries on offense, but it has not slowed them down because their defense has been unbelievable. Listen, you can say all you want, you know, about not having Adrian Peterson and not having Teddy Bridgewater, but their defense sacked Cam Newton 8 times last week. And so the key in this game clearly will be, are the Giants able to protect Eli Manning enough to get him the ball to his tremendous wideouts? And that means Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and Victor Cruz. I think the Vikings will be able to move the ball tonight. The Giants are down both starting cornerbacks. So, you know, I'm thinking if they can give Sam Bradford time, he should be able to find guys open against that banged-up secondary of the Giants. But clearly the key to this game will be the offensive line of the Giants. Are they able to block for Eli Manning? They've done a pretty good job so far, but they have not yet played against a Minnesota defense that they're going to see tonight. This is, I think the Giants have to match. Which means that their receivers, you know, play. Odell will have two guys on him. Sterling Shepard will get a lot of looks. This is a game in which the Giants tight end, if they're going to stay on the field. And for Minnesota, you know, their defense creates turnovers. Their defense creates havoc. So we'll be getting out to the Twin Cities in about 20 minutes. For Monday Night Football. So if you want to get in on the program, now's the best time. Again, at 339-1140 and 800-920-1140. If you're a fan of, the teams that were supposed to be good that right now look terrible, I don't have any answer why the Carolina Panthers and the Arizona Cardinals are 1-3. I just can't quite figure that out. I'm not a Carson Palmer fan, but I did not think that the Arizona Cardinals, with their excellent defense and their receiving core, would be 1-3. But they're not only 1-3, they're a bad 1-3. This is a team that got embarrassed at Buffalo, and then they come home and lose to the Rams. This is a bad 1-3 team right now. And the Carolina Panthers, I mean, good Lord. Go figure them. Their only win is against San Francisco in week 2. Minnesota goes into their house and wins last week. Then they go to Atlanta. And, I mean, wait a minute. Did we not just look at the Carolina defense from a year ago that was arguably the best in the NFC? Now, they lose Josh Norman, but come on. Really? Like, they're now allowing a quarterback to throw for 500 yards and a receiver in Julio Jones to come down with 300 receiving yards? Like, how does that happen? You know, their personnel is better than that. Their personnel is better than that. I do not understand how they can be that bad through a couple of weeks. I do not get that. So that's why we always say in the NFL, and we say it every year, in the sport of professional football, it is easier. It is the easiest of all the leagues to go from really bad to really good. Okay, it's not easy in basketball unless you get so lucky in the draft and get a LeBron James or a Tim Duncan. That doesn't happen like that in the NBA. Doesn't happen like that in baseball for the most part. But it can happen like that in the NFL. Look at the Philadelphia Eagles, for crying out loud. You know, they win 3 games in a row with a quarterback that we didn't even think was going to be playing this year, and Carson Wentz. They had a bye this week. By the way, why are teams having bye weeks in week 4 of the NFL season? Really? I mean, I explain that to me. That makes no sense. Green Bay and Philadelphia with byes yesterday. I mean, it's crazy. But anyway, you know, think about that. Think about Philadelphia. You know, think of them at 3-0. Yeah, that's absolutely crazy. 3-0 for the Philadelphia Eagles, 3-1 for the Cowboys. If the Giants win tonight, they'll go to 3-1. Washington has now won 2 games in a row. And now you look at the NFC West. All of a sudden, the Rams are 3-1. Go figure, right? The Rams are 3-1. 3-1, and they won against Seattle. So they already have the tiebreaker there because they get a chance to play them one more time. So right now, as things stand, they got the best 3-1. I was very impressed with Seattle yesterday, boy. Wow. I thought the Jets would give them more problems. Russell Wilson, what a game he had. Playing on one leg like that, that showed me something. That absolutely showed me something from Russell Wilson. That was a big-time performance for the Seattle Seahawks to go in there and beat the Jets the way they did. That really, not that Russell Wilson needs to show me something, but man, that was very, very impressive. All right, we'll come back. We got one more segment left before Monday Night Football. We'll take your phone calls at 339-1140, 800-920-1140. This is the Grant Napier Show on Sports 1140 KHTK. Final segment as we get you to Minneapolis in just a little bit. So let's get to some phone calls, and we start with Bob. Hello, Bob. Welcome to the show.
Thanks again, Grant. Appreciate the call.
Thank you, Bob.
A couple things that pique in my mind, you know, listening to your show last couple weeks, and no one seems to be talking about the Raiders leaving to Vegas.
That's because they're not in Vegas. They're in Oakland.
Okay, well, what's going to happen at the end of the year? They've only got a one-year lease left in the Coliseum.
Same thing that happened last year. They'll sign a new lease.
Not to talk about what is going on with them.
We talk about it all the time. What are you? Maybe you're not hearing what people are saying. It's in the news every single week.
I'll be honest, maybe I'm not, but I feel like the NFL does not want this story to get out.
Roger Goodell just talked about it last week. What the hell are you talking about? He just talked about it last week. Oh, my God. Get the hell off my show, would you please? 339-1140, 800-920-1140. What an idiot. Seriously. Here's the deal. The Raiders are in Oakland. There's no deal in Vegas. The head of the NFL, whether you think he's an idiot or not, Roger Goodell, did not exactly endorse Vegas as an NFL market, and basically kind of I got the impression he's going to figure out a way to make it happen in Oakland. I mean, good Lord, wake up. All right, again, 339-1140, 800-920-1140. Kings basketball tomorrow. They are making their way down to Anaheim to take on the LA Lakers. And then again on Thursday, they'll be in San Jose to take on the Golden State Warriors. Then they're home on Monday. Of course, I know a lot of people are excited to get to Paul McCartney tomorrow. And then again on Wednesday, as the opening of the Golden One Center will officially take place tomorrow with the first ever event. And if you were there on Saturday for the Fan Fest, I know you had a fabulous time. You know, I was just love reading everything on Twitter and all of the people that were putting stuff out on social media. Pretty impressive. Just great. Just great to see. And you know what's nice? The area is not even close to being done yet. I'm talking about, you know, the hotel condominium project and, you know, the big concourse and everything. I mean, the way it looks now and the way it's going to look in a year, and I'm not talking about inside the Golden One Center. I'm talking about outside the Golden One Center is going to be night and day. So you haven't even really seen the full effect of what the downtown Golden One Center is going to do. And when that hotel condominium project is done and when the surrounding areas are also, I guess for lack of a better term, fixed, revitalized, rejuvenated, call it whatever you want, but then you'll really get the full effect of having an arena downtown between L and J Street. So it's hard to, you know, my wife and I were talking about this this morning, as a matter of fact. You know, like it's like, gosh, she said, gosh, can you imagine that we're going to be walking into that building for every game? And all, and I'm like, no, it hasn't really hit me yet. She was so impressed with what she saw on Friday at the ribbon cutting ceremony. And I'm like, you know, it hasn't really hit me yet either, that that is actually the home of the Sacramento Kings and our venue to enjoy for many, 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 many years to come. And I can't wait. It's I really hope that the team can stay healthy. I hope that they can, you know, put it all together with Dave Yeager as the coach. But that's what preseason is for, to see how quickly he can get things working. So, again, we will be in Anaheim tomorrow. We'll get you ready for Kings basketball. I'll be doing my show courtside beginning at 3 o'clock. Very much looking forward to seeing Sacramento play for the first time, even though it's preseason, just kind of get an idea of the way Dave Yeager is going to coach this team, what we can look for, and you know, again, this is the foundation that's being laid right now by the coach. You're not going to see it all tomorrow night. We're not going to see it all on Thursday. We're not going to see it all on Monday. We're not even going to see it all in the first month of the season. All right, this is going to take some time. But I'm curious to see the defensive improvement beginning tomorrow against the L.A. Lakers. All right, we do have Monday Night Football coming up for you next. We're going to get you to Minneapolis as the Vikings try to go 4-0 against the New York Giants. That's coming up next. Make it a great evening. I can't wait to talk to you tomorrow at 3 right here on Sports 1140 KHDK.